We're going to get into something new tonight. I love this, and I looked at my notes, and last time I taught this was 9 years ago. So it's been a while, so we're going to get into some of this. If you were here 9 years ago, some of it might sound familiar, but some of it's going to be new just because of new light, new revelation. But let's just jump right into this. I want to ask you a question. How do you feel? Do you feel like your life is very busy right now? Anybody else, you know? Okay. Well, we're going to find out how to simplify our lives, how to make our lives simpler. And we're going to look at some things from the Bible. We're going to see what God has to say about all of this. And so I encourage you, follow along with the notes, fill in the blanks there. And if you miss anything, of course, all the information is on the website, all of the notes there. But let's jump right into the scripture that we want to look at that we're basing this on. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this. David wrote, and he said, "The entrance of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple." It gives understanding. The word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Now, in English, in our culture, if somebody calls you simple, that might not be a big compliment. You know, sometimes we refer to maybe somebody that might be a little slow or whatever. We say that they're simple-minded. Well, that is not what he's referring to here. We're going to get into that, and I'm not wanting you to, you know, hear that I'm implying that you're slow-minded or anything like that. All of y'all are sharp as a tack and everything. So, but what we're wanting to look at this again. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I want to show you a definition. If you're writing, taking notes, just write this down. Fill in the blanks. Here's what it means in the Hebrew. The word simple means this: someone that is naive concerning the challenges and complexities of life. Somebody that's naive, not necessarily ignorant, but somebody that is naive concerning the challenges and complexities of life. The English dictionary goes on to say it this way, Simple means not complicated or complex. Not complicated or complex, free of deceit or guile. And so I love that. So what he's saying here is the entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to those who their lives are not complex or complicated. And so a lot of times as we're going through life, we'll find times where it just doesn't seem like, you know, we're receiving revelation from the Lord. Maybe the Bible isn't meaning as much to us as we'd like for it to. Or, you know, during your quiet time, maybe if you're reading the scriptures, you know, it just becomes routine and mundane. And I would say this to you, that based on what David wrote, and of course, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it implies to us that a lot of times when we're not getting light and revelation and understanding from the Word of God, it might have everything to do with how complicated and complex our lives have become. And so here's the next thing that I want you to see. The Word of God gives understanding and light to the open-minded and uncomplicated. The Word of God gives understanding and light to the open-minded and uncomplicated. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to learn, how do I uncomplicate my life so that I can receive from God? Here's the thing that you need to understand about God from the get-go. He does not compete with anybody or anything, okay? What I mean by that is He is not going to compete with all the noise in our lives so you can hear from Him. What He wants you to do is get rid of the noise so you can hear from Him. And we live in a noisy, noisy world that comes at us from all kinds of different directions and different sources and all of that. And what you're going to find out in your relationship with God is you're going to have to weed through a lot of that so that you can hear from God. And I, you know, as I was praying and asking the Lord what He wanted me to talk about here at the beginning of the year in this little series, you know, and I don't think this is any coincidence, obviously, but I just heard the title of this, Simplify Your Life. And of course, He might have just been talking to me, okay? But guess what? What He gets on me about, I get to come in here and get on y'all about. So that's the way this thing works. And so So as we talk about this, but I specifically heard him say that to me. And so here's my point. I believe that the timing is crucial. If you were not here Sunday, please go and listen to the MP3 of it, the podcast of it. The Lord said some things to us Sunday that I believe are setting the course for us for the year. And then also sandwiched on top of that is next Monday, week from last Monday, this coming up Monday, the 8th, we start our 21 days of fasting and prayer, which I believe are going to be crucial for us as in our own relationship with God, and it's going to be crucial for us as a church. And excuse me, this year, I have an anticipation about it. There's an excitement that I have about it in my spirit that I believe God is going to do some things in our lives as a corporate body and our lives as individuals and as families that we've never seen him do before. And so I'm really, really excited about that. Let me give you a definition of the word complex. This is out of the dictionary. If you say something is complex, what does it mean? Well, it means it's so complicated or intricate as to be hard to understand or deal with. You know, I run into this sometimes. You know, my background prior to going into the ministry and pastoring was IT work. As a matter of fact, I still do a little bit of it part-time. Don't ask me, don't call me up and ask me to fix your computers. I'm not the Geek Squad, okay? I write code and that kind of stuff, so I don't fix printer problems and whatnot. But when I deal with people sometimes, for instance, I spent some time with my grandmother down in Florida. I'll say this to you. She's 90, okay? She has no interest in having or owning a computer at all. She has no interest in owning one of these at all, okay? And you know, in my conversations with her, I want to say to her, well, you don't know what you're missing. But, you know, truth be told, maybe she really does know what she's missing and doesn't want to complicate her life with that, because to her, in her mind, those devices are so complicated and intricate that, you know, it's hard for her to understand, hard for her to deal with. You know, and I have to give some props out for, you know, my 77-year-old mother has an iPad. She has a laptop. She wants an iPhone. You know, she's just gone totally geeked out. My 85-year-old stepdad, bless his heart, he's learning. He tries. He's not scared, but he tries, okay? But there's I've learned with him there's a threshold, and I don't go over that threshold in trying to explain stuff to him because it just becomes too complex, okay? So in our lives, there's two different types of complexities that we deal with. The first one that we deal with is good complexity. Good complexity. Okay, i.e. the things we just talked about, the computers, our smartphones. You know, I can't imagine myself not having a smartphone. You know, I was thinking the other day about how many of you used to have one of those old school flip phones. Okay, now I'm gonna go way back to in the early 90s. I had one of those bag phones. You know, that you unzipped and fold up the antenna, and you had the handset and all that kind of stuff. All right, we've come a long way, baby, is all I've got to say. But here's my point is I couldn't imagine having to go back to those days where, I had a dumb phone, okay, instead of a smartphone, all right? But that's a good complexity. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have ever really thought about how complex your body is and the way that it works and how God designed it and all the functions and things that your body does and that you don't even have to think about? I mean, you know, our body is so wonderfully made and it is complex. And I have the deepest admiration and respect for people in the medical field that have, some understanding of how the body works and all of that. But that is good complexity. Those are good complexities that we deal with, complex things that are in our lives that are good. However, there's a flip side to that, and there are some bad complexities that we deal with. And so what causes bad complexity in our lives? Well, it's really this, the mismanagement of life's affairs, okay? The mismanagement of life's affairs that makes it difficult to receive the light of God's Word. The reason that our lives become complex and complicated most of the time is because of our mismanagement. And we're going to talk about some resources later on as we wrap up tonight about these things that we're responsible to manage. But here's what I want you to see, that when our lives become complex in a negative way, they become complicated and complex, what it begins to do is stop the flow of revelation and insight being able to come into our lives from God's Word and by His Spirit, okay? Because here's what happens. The scripture that we started out with, Psalm 119, verse 130, says the entrance of your word gives light. So here's what happens. The word is producing light all the time. But what happens is complications cast shadows. You know what a shadow is? A shadow is caused when something steps in between you and the light. All right? So if you go outside on a sunny day, the reason that you see a shadow is because you are standing between the light and your shadow. So what happens in our lives is God's Word is trying to bring light into our lives, but these complications come in and they cause shadows to come into our lives, and the light is being blocked from us because of those complexities and those complications. And so they obscure the light. And what happens is when we don't have light from God's Word or revelation from the Holy Spirit, we have a tendency to stumble through life. Okay? I'm going to say something to you. When you see, and I don't mean this judgmental at all, it's just factual. When you see somebody that's, it seems like in their lives they go from crisis to crisis, from, hard time to hard time to hard time, and we all experience hard times. But listen, you ought to experience some reprieve in between some of those bad times. But how many of you know people that it just seems like that they go from one situation to the other, and they're believers, they love God, and they're trying their best, but it just seems like they can't dig themselves out of certain situations. And it just, they go from one bad situation to another. I will tell you why. Most of it is because they're not receiving revelation from God. Here's the thing. God wants to bring us out of those situations. He is trying to get light to us so that we don't stumble around. Starting at the first of the year, I started reading Proverbs as I do every month. I read Proverbs every month, go through all 31 chapters, one chapter a day. And I was reading Proverbs chapter 3 today, and it was talking about how wisdom is in the streets. And I just imagine it this way. The Bible says that wisdom cries out. I just imagine it this way, that wisdom is screaming at the top of its lungs, "Hey, why don't y'all listen to me? I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to show you the way that you need to go." And what that is that's exactly how God wants to operate in our lives. He's not screaming, but he is trying to get light into our lives so that we don't live that way and we don't stumble around in the dark. And so what happens is we allow things to come in between us and that light, and it casts shadows and again blocks us from being able to receive what God wants to get to us. All right, so let me ask you a question. You ever had a time where maybe you set some time aside, and maybe it was on vacation or whatever, and you just kind of disconnected, okay? And I'm talking about as a Christian, all right? So maybe you say, here's what I'm going to do. I've seen several people, it's popped up on Facebook, and they're where they've posted it, clothes for spiritual maintenance, okay? I've seen people kind of post that, well, meaning I'm not going to be on Facebook for a while. And I appreciate that. But how many of you have ever taken a break from maybe work and on vacation, you didn't answer your phone, all of those types of things, and how many of you have noticed that you become more spiritually sensitive during those times? We were talking about this earlier, back in the day, and when Brother Copeland and other people would come to Charlotte, or we would have believers' conventions. If you've ever gone to one of those believers' conventions or a meeting like that where you're gone, you're just totally immersed in the Word for a week. It's absolutely awesome, okay? Now, why is it in that environment we become more spiritually sensitive? The reason being is because, yes, the Word's coming forth, but the Word's going forth all the time. What happens is we've disconnected from the complications that are allowing us to be able to receive from the Word in that environment, okay? And so what I want you to see is you and I can do that anytime, all right? Let me show you a scripture, Psalm 46, verse 10. I'm sure you've heard this, the first part of it especially. He says this, David wrote, and he said, or the Lord speaking through David said, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. I want to focus on that first part. He says, be still and know that I am God. Let me show you a couple of different translations. Here's the Contemporary English Version. Our God says, calm down and learn that I am God. You ever been told maybe as you were a kid, get somewhere and sit down? Were you ever told that? I was, okay. Reggie and I were, all right. See, and that's what God is kind of saying to us. He's saying, I need you to get somewhere and sit down and be still and know that I am God. Look at it in the Message Bible. The Message Bible says this, step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics and above everything else. I love that, okay? If there's ever been an environment where we need to shut off some of that stuff is now, okay? But here's the thing. Step out of the traffic, God's saying to us. Take a long, loving look at me. And this translation is right on because the phrase to know God, be still and know that I am God, in the Hebrew means to ascertain by seeing, okay? You need to know God. You need to learn and know God by staying focused on Him, all right? See, there's a lot of people that know about God but don't know God. There's a lot of Christians that know a lot about God but they don't know God because their lives are so complicated and they won't take the time to do, like I said, sit down and be quiet and listen and look and stay focused on God. And all those complications are just blocking what God's trying to get to them. And see, what we need to understand is a lack of knowing God is what causes a lot of faith failures in our lives. If you've ever been in a situation where you've needed to trust God and you've needed to stand in faith and you failed in that situation, I've been there, I'll tell you what it's about. It's not about that the devil just put so much pressure on you. It's not about that your friends let you down. Really, if you want to know what it boils down to the fact that we don't know enough about our God. We don't know His character. We don't know Him in a way that we can trust Him in the way that we need to trust Him. And then I love this, the same verse, be still and know. The word still can be translated this. It means to cease, to let go, or forsake. So if we're going to uncomplicate our lives, we're going to have to cease some stuff, we're going to have to let go of some stuff, and we're going to have to forsake some stuff. And then he goes on to the challenges, the worries and anxieties that encumber our lives. You know, when was the last time that you decided, okay, I'm going to forsake worry? I'm going to let go of worry. I'm going to let go of anxiety. You know, the older I've gotten, and I'm not all that old, but, you know, the older that I've gotten, I've learned that I have a choice in that matter. I have a choice on what I get excited about and anxious about and fret and worry about. You know, I have a choice in that matter. I'll give you a great example. The other day, the day after Christmas, when I rode down to go see my grandmother in Gainesville, Florida, it's normally a 6.5-hour drive. It took me 9.5 hours. And you know what? I just decided I was sitting there in the car, and really there's a limited number of ways you can go south. And so I just had to make up my mind. You know what? I'm not going to get anxious about this. It is what it is. I'll get there sooner or later. But I'm going to have to make do with what I've been, you know, the cards I've been dealt. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to worry about these other idiots on the road. I'm just going to keep my mind focused on what I'm doing. Plus, it, you know, just gave me some more time because I, on those trips, I always load up on podcasts and all that kind of stuff anyway. So it just bought me some more time. Didn't like it, you know, the whole time. I'm not saying I enjoyed it or wanted it. And that's, you know, I was praying and asking God, God, extend my trip for 3 hours. And then on the way home, Lord, extend it for 2 hours because it took me 8 hours to come home, okay? But, you know, I just had a choice. I made up my mind. I was going to let go of those things that caused me worry, caused me to get anxious, that challenged me, and all of those because I'm tired of those types of things encumbering my life. How about you? All right? Now I want to show you something because immediately, maybe when we talk about uncomplicating our lives, our mind might immediately go to some things that we, you know, really, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, I don't need that in my life. You know, maybe there's some things that we shouldn't be looking at or shouldn't be watching on television or whatever the case is that, you know, we know that those things we need to eliminate from our lives. But I want to show you something that there are some things that complicate our lives that aren't necessarily bad things, that aren't necessarily sinful things or evil things. There's some things that complicate our lives that might be on the surface look good. Okay? Let's look at it. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. I want to read verses 38 through 42. It's there on your notes. It says this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now stop right there. Martha opened her house, but her sister Mary, what did she do? Okay, it's not a trick question. It's on the screen for you there. She had a sister called Mary who did what? And did what? Okay, so Mary made a decision that when Jesus came into the house, she was going to sit at the Lord's feet and listen, or sit at his feet and listen to what he said. The next verse. But Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted. Distracted by what? By all the preparations that had to be made. Now, you know, back in the day, and of course this is true still in our culture, you know, when company came, it was a big deal. And, you know, they like to feed people and extend to them all this hospitality and everything. Okay, so Martha got distracted by all that. And so she came to Jesus and she asked, now, how would you, you know, when I'm reading the Bible, I picture stuff. So here's Jesus preaching, having a Bible study in somebody's home. We don't know how many people were there, but we do know there was probably other people. There's Mary sitting at his feet, listening to what he says. He's talking, and mid-sentence it says, Martha came to him and asked him. So Martha walks into the living room where he's sitting, taps him on the shoulder, and interrupts him and says this, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. That took some guts right there. All right? So, here's the next verse. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You know what? I just imagine Jesus, you know, there's this little grin pops up on his face. He didn't get annoyed with her. But, you know, he answered and he said, you know what? You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed or indeed only one. So, here, let's unravel what he just said. Martha, you're upset about many things, but there's really only one thing that's needed right now. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay? Now, that's a whole message in and of itself. When you choose to take the time and put Jesus first and listen to what he's saying, that can never be taken away from you. Okay? But he goes on to say, there is need of only one or but a few things. Mary has chosen, this is the Amplified Bible, Mary has chosen the good portion, and I highlighted this, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. So what is the big deal? Why was this such an issue? See, Martha got all worried and anxious about all of this stuff that was unnecessary. But let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with wanting to feed Jesus? Is there anything wrong with wanting to prepare and make sure your home is nice and everything is ready to serve Jesus and, of course, the 12 disciples and everybody that was with him? Is there anything sinful about that? Of course not. But here's the thing. It was not sinful, but it's not what she needed to be doing at the moment. And see, sometimes there are things that we choose to do in our lives that are not sinful. They may be even good, but as this scripture says in the Amplified, they're not really to your advantage. And when we choose to do those things, it causes complications and it causes our lives to become complex. All right? Now, let me point out a couple of things to you, all right? Because there's going to be things that you and I are going to have to evaluate in our lives and ask ourselves, is this a good thing or is this a God thing? Is this thing going to complicate my life? Is it going to make my life more complex? Is it going to make my life more busy? You know, and a lot of these things are presented to us and come under the guise of, this is going to make your life so much easier. It's going to help you make that much more money. It's going to do this for you. And it's going to try and convince you that it's the better thing for you. But you and I are going to have to learn what is wisdom at the moment and figure out, of course, by the help of God's Spirit, what is right for us at that moment. Okay? All right? So let me show you a couple of things. When you choose something that is not needed over that which is needed, it will always produce care and anxiety in you. In other words, good things, not God things, will typically produce care and anxiety in you. Because when you choose God, it will always bring peace. And we don't read anywhere in those four or five verses that Mary was anxious about anything, do we? Was she upset that the dinner wasn't on the table? She didn't care. All she wanted to do was sit at the feet of Jesus because that was the thing that was needed at the moment. And apparently it was needed for Martha as well. Now here's something else I want to show you. Because of the choices Martha was making, the complications in her life were making her critical of her sister Mary. I want to tell you something. When you find yourself becoming critical, now I'm not talking about critical of worldly people. That's not right either, but when you find yourself becoming critical about your brothers and sisters in Christ or what's going on at church or, you know, I don't like that. Chances are it's a result of you've let your life get complicated and you're not focusing on the thing that is needful at the moment. You're focusing on something that is not necessary at the moment and it's producing this care and anxiety. So, you know, I find myself sometimes when, you know, how many of you, when you get tired, you have a tendency to become a little cranky, okay? How many of you, when you get hungry, you tend to get cranky, all right? Okay? We call it hangry, okay? You get hangry, all right? Well, see, you know, a lot of times when I'm tired, and I'm not just talking about tired like, you know, I stayed up last night. I'm talking about, you know, I'm just tired. And I find myself in those moments becoming critical of other people. I typically have to stop and step back and take a look and ask myself, why am I being critical? Why am I criticizing somebody that really, it's none of my business what they do, what color they choose, you know, the color of their house, their car, you know, just stupid stuff. Why do I do that? The reason being is because I've allowed myself to get tired because my life is too complicated. In other words, I'm focusing like Martha did on things that weren't necessary and not focusing on the thing that was needed at the moment. All right? Now, I don't remember if I put this in your notes, but one thing that we need to understand is that Martha, and we'll talk about this in just a second, Martha was doing a good thing, but she was doing a good thing at the wrong time. You might have some good things that you need to do, but wisdom, you need to find out when is the right time to do those good things. I'm not saying that your life is filled with bad things, but it comes a point when we need to choose when to do the things that we need to do at the right time. All right? Now, the Bible teaches us, going, and you can read Matthew chapter 25, if you want to make a note of this, Matthew chapter 25, verses 15 through 30. Jesus gives us a whole teaching on stewardship and managing our lives. Okay? We're not going to talk about stewardship, but that is a huge part of it, and how to manage our lives. Let me give you a definition of what it means to manage. What is a manager? A manager, in as far as your life is concerned, means managing the organization of resources at your disposal so that it can accomplish the desired result. Okay? All of us have a certain amount of resources that we're entrusted with. We have a desired result that we need to accomplish. When we manage our lives, what that means is we are utilizing our organizational skills to take those resources and cause them to produce the desired result. Okay? So when Jesus says we need to manage or be stewards of the resources that God entrusts us, what that means is that we have got to be skillful at taking those resources and organizing them in such a way so that we can produce the desired results. All right? So that being said, and not tonight, but in maybe next week or the week after that, we're going to talk about this word right here, organization. Organization. Now, I want to just, let me say this right now, okay? I should have said this maybe at the beginning. Do not think because I'm teaching this that I am perfect in all of this. I'm a work in progress just like you are, and I work on these things all the time. I'm going to tell you later on in subsequent lessons, you know, maybe some little tips and tricks that I've learned, you know, that will help you. But organization, what does organization mean? Organization is this, where you take the resources that you have and you put it in a working order, okay, so that it works for you in order to accomplish a result, okay? In other words, you have 10 resources that are available to you. I'm going to talk about three in just a second, but you know, these resources are entrusted to us, and what organization is the ability to be able to take those resources and organize them in such a way so that they work for you and you're able to accomplish the purpose in the result that you're after, all right? So, here's some things that Jesus says and that the Bible teaches that we are to manage and organize and be responsible for, okay? So here's the first one. Here's the resource that we all have, time. Time. Time management. Now, I know that's a business term, and we hear it a lot in the corporate and business world, but you'll find out the Bible teaches a lot about time management, okay? And God has called us all to learn how to manage these things and organize these things so that we can get the results that He wants us to get. God wants us to live a certain quality of life. And so when He entrusts these things to us, He wants us to learn how to manage and organize them in such a way so that we're able to benefit from them and accomplish their purpose. Let me show you a verse from Ephesians chapter 5. And it says this in verses 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or aware is a better word or a modern word, "not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you, you know, and this might be, I remember being a kid and older people used to tell me, "Now son, when you get older, time's going to get faster." Anybody ever heard that before? Some of y'all are probably telling younger people that now, okay? All right, because I find myself, hey, you know, when I'm around young people, hey, listen, when you get to be my age, guess what? It's going to seem like it's going as quick. We were just talking earlier, Shirley and I were talking, you know, as far as it seems like just a few days ago that we put all the Christmas decorations up. And guess what? They're all going to come right back down Saturday. But they've been up a month, and the whole month has just been a blur to me. I mean, it's gone by so quickly, okay? But here's the thing. We all have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks in a year, 365 days a year. We all have the same amount of time. Paul tells us we can redeem the time. We can redeem the time. Let me show you what the word redeem means in the Greek language. It means to buy up, to ransom, or I love this, to rescue from loss and improve opportunity. Some translations of that verse, Ephesians 5:16, say this, make the most of every opportunity. God is telling us that we as believers need to learn how to make the most of every opportunity that's presented to us. So when we have all have the same amount of time, what the Bible is teaching us is the basics of time management is this, is learning how to maximize the moment. Learning how to maximize the moment. God wants us to learn how to maximize the moment, that time management. So time is a resource that we have that we can manage and we can organize. Here's the next one. Number two is resource management. Resource management. Okay, you might not be a millionaire, but you have something materially that God wants you to manage and God has entrusted to you and that He wants you to learn how to organize. And, you know, all of these things, you know, if you're not managing your time, I can tell you this, your life is going to be complicated, okay? Because you're chronically late to everything. Or, you know, you're just you're never prepared because you're not managing time, all right? Resource management is the same thing. If we're not managing the resource that God has entrusted to us, I promise you your life is complicated. If you're up to your neck in debt, I promise you your life is complicated because you got a million bills to pay. God forbid you become one day late on one of them because then your phone starts ringing. And how many of you know when your phone starts ringing and you have to dodge bill collectors, your life gets really complicated, all right? Now, I'm joking, but it's the truth. So really, resource management is critical. So what we have to learn to do is we have to learn how to manage our resources so that our life is not complicated. I'll tell you one thing. I've been in debt and I've been debt free. My life was a whole lot less complicated being debt free. Can I get an amen? All right. Here's the last one, okay? And this one's equally as important. Number three is relationship management. God has entrusted all of us with relationships. I don't care who you are. You have a relationship with another human being, somebody, somewhere. And God has entrusted us to manage and organize relationships because I promise you, if you do not manage your relationships, your life will be complicated for sure. I can tell you, let me give you another word for maybe being complicated. How about drama-filled? Okay? If you don't learn how to manage relationships, I promise you there's going to be some drama in your life. Okay, because you're going to be constantly having to deal with family members or, you know, just issues going on, all that type of thing, friends at work, co-workers, all that kind of thing. There's going to be issues. And what God wants us to do is learn how to manage our relationships so that our lives are not complicated. Now, you're dealing with people. You're not going to be able to control people. But what I can tell you is that the Bible will teach you how to manage relationships. When people, you know, maybe do something wrong or say the wrong thing to you, the Bible teaches us what to do in those situations, how to manage those relationships. Sometimes the best thing you can do is not say anything at all. Hello? Okay? You know, we don't always have to, you know, James tells us a soft answer does what? Turns away wrath. Okay? So, you know, the Bible will teach us on how to manage our resources, our time, and our relationship. Because here's what God is after. He is wanting your life to become simpler so that you can receive from Him everything that you need to receive from Him. I can't say it enough. God is trying to get over to us. He's trying to talk to us. He's trying to reach out to us. And a lot of times, we're not hearing Him because of the complications in our life. But here's the thing. We'll be the first ones to say, I don't understand why God's not talking to me. Well, He is. He is. Matter of fact, He wrote you a whole book, a whole love letter right here that He wants to tell you and talk to you and tell you certain things in. But it's going to just be ink on paper if we don't have a connection with Him and we're being, like the Scripture says, being still and knowing that He is God and letting Him help us simplify our lives. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've had together tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I believe You're going to help us to simplify and uncomplicate our lives. And Lord, I thank You that it's going to bring peace. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring happiness into our lives. And that, Father, we're going to experience You. And Lord, as I said at the beginning, I don't believe it's any coincidence that You've led us to go in this direction. That, Father, You have some things that You are wanting to do in our lives that would absolutely boggle our minds if we would just let You. Matter of fact, Your Word says that You are wanting to do above what we can even ask or think or hope or dream or desire. And Father, I thank You in Jesus' name that You're showing us, Lord, how to remove all the obstacles, how to get things out of the way so that we can hear and receive from You and become and walk in everything that You have for us. Lord, we thank You for it. We praise You for it. And Father, we're excited about the days ahead and what You are going to do in our lives. Father, the difference that You're going to make in our lives and what You're going to enable us to be able to do in the earth. And we thank You for it, Lord. I thank You, Father, for these wonderful people. Thank You for blessing them. Thank You for protecting them and keeping them safe. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.